Tonight, we discuss the veto competition. Will Memphis successfully show the back door to Kevin? Or will Day or Kevin eat their last rib? We get reacquainted with Zingbot, meet the next door neighbor, crown a new HOH, and find out the latest nominees. But first, please welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I am Adam.
Hi.
And I'm joined by Fatty. I ran out of time. I'm going to say this. Will the nominations start? I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. I wanted to finish
script. This part sucks as much as the first two times you tried it. Go ahead.
Will the commission start eating each other?
Oh.
But first.
All right. All right. So the commission is eating each other and Memphis is showing David the back door.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He can show him the back door. That makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you backdoor David, you also send him out the door.
Somebody.
Yeah. Or
we know what happens.
Will Kevin or Day eat their last rib?
Rib?
Get it? Memphis? It might be a stretch. Memphis is famous for ribs.
Oh, now we're stretching the back door. Okay.
Memphis, right. the city, is famous for ribs. Come on. You got to get in some little, what are they called? It's not an innuendo, is it? No. That's only if it's sexual. Anyway, hi,
double
Fatty.
Double entendre.
Sure, yeah, double entendre.
The back door isn't a sexual innuendo?
No, I was talking about the rib.
Oh.
It's not really sexual.
The rib is biblical, too.
It is if you're doing it right.
Oh.
All of those things.
Well, hey, we're joined by Sam in the Hinterlands, who just said something. Hi, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
How are you feeling this evening?
Well, thank you and all of you.
I'm good. I don't want to say this every episode, but I feel like it's been a couple. You'd look just like Princess Leia in your headphones, and you're wearing a white top this evening. So it reminds me of like the Leia, you know, white dress that she was wearing. Anyway. Moving right. Speaking of a white dress, we're also joined by Archer. Hello, Archer.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm great. My husband had his colonoscopy this morning, and he passed it with flying colors.
Speaking of showing someone the back door.
Wait a minute. By the way, Archer, check your mic also.
Check my mic.
Fatty has now become the technical the AV technician.
You are correct.
Thank you.
Look
How's
at that.
That? Is that better?
Oh my God. Well, turn it down.
That actually sounds like we're talking into your mic now.
Turn it down. Sorry.
Two people I've fixed. You're welcome. You're welcome, Burns.
I forgot that Zoom changes it. So,
Big Fatty, the AV specialist of Pride 48.
Thank you.
Well, I'm actually, I'm glad
we'll be having film strips later.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm used to Skype and Zoom just having sucky audio anyway, so I don't really even pay attention. I just assume. And then the next day I get a text message from Daniel saying, you know, Mike Lawson wasn't on his microphone, was he? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't pay attention. Anyway, speaking of not paying attention, we're also joined by Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Because apparently I'm a glutton for punishment, I've been going back and listening to 14-year-old episodes of the Little Fatty Cast, and I just listened to one where Big Fatty sounded like he was calling in from some sort of satellite phone. So I don't think Fatty has much room to talk about audio quality.
All right. Well, wait a minute. That was how many years? 14 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fatty has learned a thing or two about audio. In fact, not to mention Daniel's name twice, but we were discussing the other day how much better Fatty's audio quality is now.
But so, how much better is his back door?
I don't know.
Well, the one thing that is consistent is I still have no content.
Correct.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you a pass on that, Fatty.
But that's good for back doors, right?
Oh, yes. I love you, Samantha. Oh, and by the way, before I forget.
My back door, there's no content at my back door, which you're welcome.
Let me just, before you leave my square, let me say, hello, Mittens. How are you tonight?
Oh, is he in the chat room?
I assume he'll listen to this eventually.
Oh, my God, I forgot about the
hello,
chat
Mittens.
Room.
By the way,
I'm not even in the chat room, but I assume he'll listen to this eventually. So hello,
yeah, he will. Now, did you give him spankings for his birthday on Sunday?
Oh,
he got balloons.
Well, okay, great.
Yeah. Useful, but hardly interchangeable.
I mean, I talked about this.
Were they delivered to his back door?
No, I talked about this on Geeky Gay tonight, so you'll all hear it.
I won't. No.
But everyone will hear it in the world because you all listen. But I'll say it again just in case. I actually waited until he fell asleep Saturday night, and I got up, and I had already blown up like 45 balloons and put them in the studio closet up here. And so I walked like five or six of them a piece because I couldn't get a whole bunch of, I just couldn't think of a, I know they're just balloons, but like, I'm like, if I wrap them in a sheet, so I went up and down the stairs like 10 times, carrying them downstairs, positioning them on the floor in the pitch black dark because he was asleep. So I didn't want to wake him up. Put a plant because he's into plants now. I had bought him a little plant, put it on the coffee table. The birthday card, set all of that up, and then slinked back in, slithered into the bed so I didn't wake him up. And then Sunday morning, he woke up and went in and was surprised and was happy. So, all right.
You got your cardio in.
Yeah. I was like going up and down the stairs. And you're trying to tiptoe, and every time it like creaks or something, I'm like, this is an audio podcast. I don't know why I just did a video thing. But anyway, hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you? I wanted to tell you guys I'm having a great day because this morning I gave Archer's husband a colonoscopy.
Let me tell you how much he enjoyed it.
he probably enjoyed the drugs.
He did. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love that drug, too.
Oh, my God. I can see why Michael Jackson liked propofol. Oh.
No kidding.
So, not a colonoscopy, but Mark got a root canal today.
Oh, no.
All right.
Is he feeling all right?
Yeah, he is. One side of his face was, paralyzed, but it's starting to get back into, he can smile again. So.
Good.
Speaking of smiling again, we're also joined by Moose P. Hello, Moose.
Howdy doody. I hope the root canal went well. He's not in a lot of pain tonight, is he?
He's not yet. They gave him, so they asked him, did he want pain medication? And I don't know if he said this to them, but he said it to me. He was like, I was thinking, shouldn't you be the one telling me that? Not the other way around. Like, you're the doctor. But he's like, well, is it going to hurt? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I'd like some. So they gave him a prescription for tramadol, but they told him, don't take it. Try Tylenol and like Advil or whatever. And if that doesn't work, then take the prescribed painkillers. And he's like, I don't really understand that. Why would they prescribe something and then tell me not to take it? I said, they don't want you to get addicted. They're just saying, don't take this unless you have to, but we're giving you a prescription for it, basically. So,
yeah, my hubby had a root canal last Thursday. And they prescribed the same thing and gave him the same advice. But he's gotten pretty used to just taking Motrin. So he's done real well just with Motrin.
He's like, why would people get addicted to pain medicine? And I'm like, because you feel so good when you take it. And then you want to feel that way again. And, speaking of feeling good, we're also joined by Faye Driver. Hello, Faye. You're last again. I'm sorry. You're also muted.
Yeah, sorry about that. Testing. I was just making sure my microphone was working fine. Oh, I didn't want to get scolded. hi, everybody. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me, Adam, Fatty.
Have you had any root canals or colonoscopies or back doors recently?
Well, I won't go into it. But one out of three ain't bad, I guess.
Right. Well, I hear you have a personal story, Faye.
I do. Thank you for asking. Now, we have the slight issue today because usually I am the note taker, and I took notes for two of the episodes from this week, and I wasn't able to take notes for the Sunday episode, which is yesterday in our real life timeline. So I think two people have my back covered because I took my car to the track today and I was driving like a maniac all around in circles mostly. So that's my personal story.
No accidents.
No accidents, but my tires are so bad that I was sideways most of the time. Oh. So I did get in a little bit of trouble actually because they don't like you to be out of control on the racetrack, but you know, it turned out okay. And tomorrow I get new tires.
Oh, good.
You'd think that I would get the good tires before I went to the track. But
now, do you ruin your tires on the track or they were already bad? And
yeah, both. My tires were at the end of their life, and that's why I went. One of the reasons I wanted to go to the track is just to kill off these tires. And so it was everything. The timing was really good for me to sign up for this track day and then to burn off the tires. And now I'll have new tires. So
I know in races that they like tend to stop and replace tires mid race, but I think that's because they use some really high performance tires that end up like wearing down really quickly or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So a good race tire is extremely soft, so it'll wear down very quickly because it's like soft and mushy, so it grips really well. Your average car tire is very hard because people don't want to spend $1,500 a year on tires, right? So the tires are made much harder to last longer, and not everybody is going around racing. You know, not every person needs to have a high performance tire. Especially people who watch TV while they're driving to St. Louis.
I don't know. Who does that?
Anyway, so shall we care?
There is no
watching TV.
There is no
Big Brother.
There is no TV in my car. Thank you very much. So I'm good. Anyway, Big Brother.
Right. So we are in episode 21. Wednesday, September 23rd, we have Memphis is the HOH. He has nominated Davon and Kevin, and he has a master plan to backdoor David, which we've been talking about. We start this episode, the Wednesday episode, with the Zingbot who moves in next door. Fatty called it. So everybody gets zinged by the Zingbot. And I don't know. Do we want to talk about all the various zings? Do people have notes on that? I have some, but
I'll just say I was disappointed in quality this year.
I was just going to say the only thing I was going to comment on was the zings weren't nearly as good as they've been in the past.
My favorite zing was the one they did for David. David, this is All-Stars. Why are you here?
And Nicole didn't like her zing. She was highly offended by her lame-o. It wasn't
that. It made her cry.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the one for Christmas about one of them being stressful and something else, and the other one is the actual holiday. I kind of liked that one, but yeah, they weren't.
I kind of like Cody's, which was which is higher, 10 or your IQ or something like that. I mean, it's, you know.
I think his response was better than the actual zing, though. He's like, well, what is a good IQ?
Yeah.
But I've never really thought of him as being stupid. So I feel like they were just looking around for a stupid house guest, though.
He was asking a real question, I think, though.
Well, yes, he was.
Maybe.
Mike, did you have comments?
Zingbot is part of the, you know, our summer tradition of Big Brother. And whether the jokes are stupid or not, that doesn't really matter. It's part of the seventh inning stretch. Take me out to the ball game. You know, we have to buy Cracker Jacks because we always buy Cracker Jacks. This is just part of the game. And I don't know, I love it. And Otem is next. And I don't know, it's Big Brother. This is, you know, one of the episodes they have to have. So. They did it, and they did it okay.
Right.
It was fun. It was fun.
That's Big Brother's new slogan. We did it, and we did it okay.
The thing that bugs me about Zingbot, though, is that you know that the person talking and the puppeteer are not related because you get a lot of these hand wavings and please take my wife, you know, that kind of just seems like it's out of sync. The zing is out of sync with the voice. All right. So it's post nomination. Kevin goes and talks to Memphis. Whatever. Danny says, I told you not to use the veto to Devon. Cody is chilling.
So Danny is, I'll say right here. Danny is basically saying to Devon that the reason that she's on the block this week is because of the whole using the veto and, you know, all that. But I don't really think that's true because I think we're still following true to form where the commission is just nominating everyone that's not in the commission. And Devon was the most visible, maybe. But, you know, she also was, I was telling Mark this, I felt like Devon was the most likely to do well if they kept her in the house of the ones that are kind of low hangers. And so I don't think, you know, nominating her is kind of like, well, of course you're going to nominate her. You're going to not nominate. You don't want to get rid of David necessarily, even though Memphis has a hard on to get rid of David, but he's like the worst player. So I feel like, you know, David's going to be one of those hanger honors just because they're going to be like, well, nobody's going to vote for him and he's not going to win any competitions and he's not going to have any strategies. So I think she's just up there or, you know, was put up there because, I mean, that's just what's happening. You know, the commission's not going to nominate each other. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, notice we've have another week with a white head of household and people of color nominees. Just to note that.
Right. Kevin and Devon have a love fest and a good cry together about how they are. They love each other. Okay, we go to the veto picks. Memphis picks Tyler. Kevin picks Danny. And Devon picks Nicole. Kevin and Devon both got house guest's choice. I feel like there were like 9 house guest choice buttons in that hat. And there was 1 Tyler. So, Tyler suspects that the 4 that because of the picks that come out, Kevin picks Danny, Devon picks Nicole. Tyler suspects that those 4 people are aligned, which he is correct, right?
Well, I mean, on one side, I think Devon really thinks that she has Nicole and Danny on her side. And Kevin's kind of in the mix just because he's linked up to Devon. I'm not sure that Nicole and Danny feel the same way. Danny may want to work with Devon at some point in the future, but I mean, they're still kind of sticking close to their commission, I feel like. I don't know if anyone else has a different view on that, but I feel like it's kind of a one-sided thing where, you know, Devon and Kevin feel like they have something, but I could be wrong.
Mike?
Yeah, maybe that's just semantics. Like something's forming and he smells it and who knows what it is exactly. They don't even know. But like there is something there. Like they're, you know, they're talking a little bit more than they're talking to others. And, you know, it could just be friendship, but friendship in this house leads to votes, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say it's nothing formal yet. They're just like feeling out the waters.
Well, they still don't trust David, so they're not going to work with him. So that kind of leaves Danny and Nicole.
Yeah, my point, I think, is that both Tyler and Devon are very good at sniffing out these relationships, these potential relationships, or the fact that these people are working together, whether or not the links are all tied and bound up. But this is why I think Tyler is such a good player. I'm kind of a big fan of Tyler.
because he's very skillful in that regard, in sussing out the inner workings of these alliances, I think. Okay, so now Memphis demands that all, after the veto picks, Memphis demands that all players throw the competition so that he can backdoor David. So King Memphis has spoken.
But you notice,
tried and made it Memphis boss of everything. I mean, why does he think that he is in a position?
Oh, you muted yourself, Sam.
Oh, sorry. Who died and made Memphis god emperor of this whole house? I mean, why does he think that everybody will just throw the competition because he asks them to?
Well, remember, I think it's kind of like the way the world is right now, but anyway.
I was going to say, remember the last time when he was head of household, he became this arrogant, you know, guy who thought he was in control of everything then, so he's just repeating it now.
Mike?
I get the impression that, you know, I think his career or his job is he's a restaurant owner. And I feel like someone that is a restaurant owner is probably very alpha and, you know, runs around telling people what to do all the time and expecting them to listen. So I think it may be part of just that's his personality in general, because of either he either became an owner of a bunch of restaurants because he's a douche, or he became a douche because he's a restaurant owner. I mean, either way, I'm not saying all restaurant owners are douches. I'm, you know, but.
No, I think that's exactly what you just said. But
I think
anyway.
There's a relationship there.
Does that mean all douches are restaurant owners?
Mm. Now, Nora O'Donnell's husband would not like to hear that.
No, she would not.
You're saying he would his not. Ribs are not very tasty. Is that what you're saying?
What I want to, I think we all know what we think about Memphis, but what I want to know is, his ribs are probably tasty, but what I want to know is, does he not see that acting the way he's acting is going to eventually put him in peril? Because
I don't think he cares.
Because even members of his own alliance, I would not be surprised if the first time that we go to take out a commission member, if he didn't win HOH that week, it's going to be him, because he's pissed so many people off acting the way he does. And they're all like, why would you backdoor David? Like, none of them are going to throw it like he's telling them to. And they're all just like, what? Like, what are you? You're stupid. So I don't know. I mean,
do you think that crazy knows that it's crazy, though? Because if it did, it just wouldn't be crazy. Well, like, it would stop being crazy. Like, I think that he kind of, there was a moment in the challenge where they built the
fire hydrant,
and he rang his buzzer and he was wrong and he had to go back and correct it. Mm-hmm. And there was just a moment on his face where he was just like disgusted that he was wrong, but that he was judged to be wrong, right? Like, you just saw him like the disgust on his face, and it just reminded me of like some people kind of I grew up with that were just kind of like that way and just kind of, you know, knock stuff around all the time. And I think that's just part of who he is.
Could be
douche.
Well, douche. And even if he's not pissing off people, there's lots of information about him amongst his group that they're going to go, well, you know, he's been doing this and this and this, and I hadn't been involved in that. And, you know, that's a red flag for me. You know, I think he's going to be one of the first to go from his group.
Well, his group was pretty upset that they didn't discuss the nominations at all, nor did they, were they particularly thrilled that he was planning to backdoor David, which nobody understood. Yet they thought that, you know, that's just stupid to do. So
one of the interesting things too is that in the last two HOHs where the commission or the commissioners or whatever they're calling themselves has been the power HOH, like, names have come up like Danny and Nicole and stuff, and so people have their eyes on these players, particularly Danny. She ruffles a lot of feathers, I think. but no one's doing anything to get rid of them. But two people have said, I don't like the way these people are acting. So they're on the HOH's radar. But of course, the duds are the ones that get taken out, which...
Well, for all-stars, they're not making all-star moves.
No. And the thing, I feel strongly that the duds are the... You want to bring a dud to the end with you, and you want to be taking out these high-value players, right? And so, yeah.
Well, usually there's one lucky dud who gets dragged all the way. And then depending on who wins that final challenge, the final HOH, then sometimes they get taken all the way and sometimes they don't. But I feel like Josh, his season was a dud. And then nobody wanted to vote for, wasn't it Paul that was against Josh? And everyone hated him so much or whatever that they, but I feel like Josh won because no one wanted to vote for the other one. So occasionally a dud wins because they're dragged all the way because everyone's like, oh, I can beat them. And then nobody wants to vote for the other person. So
isn't that how Nicole won?
Could be. Yeah.
Yep. I think it's exactly how she won. And I mean, I don't know if this is the right time or place for this, but like, I almost like find it offensive that you call them duds. Like, that's how I would win. That's how I would have to win, because I wouldn't be winning competitions. I wouldn't be, you know, I would have to kind of just like keep quiet when I knew people were kind of like going at each other. I would have to kind of get in people's ears. I would kind of have to like create friendships with people that I fucking hate. I would have to do that because that's how I could win.
Like you're doing here.
I'm sorry. No offense, dud. I mean, Mike, sorry. No,
it's a way to win. I agree that it maybe doesn't require as much muscle, but I think that it's not, you know, easy to kind of like be friends with the meathead for, you know, 3 months. That's hard.
Yeah, but you could look at him.
No, I totally agree with you, Mike. And I'm only calling them duds because that's the word we were using. I mean, I empathize with these people because... Right.
Let's just call them Mikes from here
as,
on out.
As
okay?
we know.
Instead of duds, all right?
As we know, it irritates me that we get the popular clique who all band together and vote out the less popular people. I hate it.
Adam's going back to high school again.
Sorry.
Adam, I'm good. Who do you think the dud will be that goes all the way?
No, the Mike.
Or the Mike, sorry.
Oh, probably David.
I think David's got...
Really?
Yeah.
I think he might, yeah. He's friends with the right meatheads. He's friends with them.
I know we'll probably talk about this, but I felt so bad for Kevin when he went in and tried to talk to Cody, and it clearly went the wrong way, and he ended up pissing Cody off. But he was so traumatized by just that type of person that he, you know, so... like afraid to talk or be, you know, to try to get to know that. At least I felt like, you know, and I related to that a little bit. Like, I don't know.
Plus this is his fifth nomination this season.
Yeah.
I mean, he's feeling bad.
Yeah. Okay. Something I noticed are these gigantic blue coffee cups. Like these, have you seen these coffee cups the size of people's heads?
Yeah, I've got a couple that are green that are exactly like that. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh my God, those are my coffee cups. Mine are green though.
I haven't seen those.
Those are revolting. Who needs a coffee cup that big? That coffee is going to be cold by the time you get halfway through it. Like
normally,
it's straight out of Friends.
They're about, I don't know, they're about that big. Well, you can't really tell, but they're about that big around. But I usually use it for soup or something, but I don't drink coffee.
Oh, well,
you're
talking.
Soup cup. Okay. Soup,
we don't need your Canadian anti-size bias coming into this.
You are right. You are an anti-size queen.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get this moving. So I did find some notes on the Zingbot Zings, and the theme was Tiger Zing, and it took me like half of the bit to figure out that they're talking about the Tiger King. Like, that just didn't click with me. I never
If you had a bigger that. Cup of coffee, you would have understood it quicker.
That's right.
All right, Zingbot. I'll quickly go through these. Zingbot says, can't believe that David is here. We mentioned this earlier.
Zing.
Enzo is pathetic. He's a man in his 40s calling himself Meow Meow.
That, you know, I gotta say, I kind of like that one. I'm sorry, Mike.
It's fine.
Memphis was your Dan's number one, but you're a giant number two. Everybody seemed to like that on the show. The Coda, we spoke about the perfect tan. It's your IQ. Danny, in the first season, you came off as an old pro. Now you're just old.
That one was, I didn't really think that was accurate. And I also thought that was just like an easy, you know, tell a woman she looks old sort of thing.
Yeah. I also think, by the way, she looks stunning in her diary when she's like done up and like,
yeah,
but she really has good. Anyone noticed she's like drag queen makeup? Like, if she is,
yeah,
really
she cakes it on.
What's wrong with drag queen makeup?
Well, and, wait, let's ask, I mean, let's ask Sam about this. is she caking it on there?
Well, she definitely wears visible makeup, but because she chooses such a vibrant lip color, it's hard to tell about the rest of it. So I'm trying to remember from the show, and what I remember noticing the most is that she picked a really, really bright lipstick. And once you notice that, it's hard to put everything else into perspective. And she's the only one that's doing that. The other women on the show are doing a more natural look.
And it's only when she's doing the diary room that she's done it that much. It's the rest of the time she looks like a, you know, everyday chick.
Yeah, no, but I mean, eviction nights, she's all done up.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's a lot of contouring. I think my point is there's a lot of contouring, which is a real drag queen tactic to change the shape of your face, right?
Now, Faye, when you do drag, do you use a vibrant lipstick color also?
I sure do. Yes, I do. Most definitely do. Yep.
Vibrant lipstick was, in fact, his drag name a while ago.
I was going to say, and they just called him Vi for short, right?
Right. Oh, you guys are on it today. So Xmas got your versus the holiday season. Your cold one is cold, stressful, and annoying, and whatever.
The other one is a holiday.
Kevin's got a nickname. Is Bowring. Boring. Do we? Anybody remember that?
No, I didn't.
It was lame.
That
whatever
one.
It was. Because he's kissing his ring, and they just tied his boring. You're always kissing your ring, but you're boring.
I didn't get that.
I think that was a boring zing.
Yes. Tyler got the real winner gets the girl, not the $500,000. I guess he didn't win. Did he not win? I don't know.
He did not win.
Yeah. Devon, you've been on 3 seasons of Big Brother and 2 seasons of The Challenge. Which show are you going to lose next? What is The Challenge, by the way? Does anybody know?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Nicole,
didn't they used to have a show on MTV called The Challenge?
Coming in 2021, The Challenge Recap.
There was a Real World Rude Rules Challenge on MTV, but I don't know if that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
We've got the research department checking it out right now, and he'll be with us in just a second. Here we go. Wait a minute. We've got it coming in right now.
It is ticker tape. An MTV show spun off from The Real World and Road Rules. And they just have, they're doing seasons still. Started in 1998 and it's still on the air.
It's been on for 22 years and none of us have ever heard of it.
Yep.
Well, I've heard of it. And I thought it was just contestants who have already been on a previous reality show.
Well, right. Davon that would apply to Davon.
Yeah.
So
they've been on this long. So like they've had, you know, episodes where it was like only people related to island themed shows. And, you know, like they just have all these, like I'm scrolling still and I haven't even gotten to Big Brother stuff. So It seems like it's quite a franchise.
I wonder if they've had a Naked and Afraid season yet.
Maybe.
Okay. Let's move on. The veto competition. It's a zoo. There's three tigers in a maze. Everyone runs around grabbing tigers.
Wait a minute. There are three what?
Tigers? What? Yeah, tigers. It's a tiger. Wow.
Meow.
Grr. Tiger. Is that how anybody else say it that way?
Tigger.
It's a long eye. Tiger.
Wait, we're not making fun. Tigers? But why all of a sudden are they doing this Tiger King stuff?
I don't know.
Where did it come from?
Because the Tiger King was on this year.
Yeah, but like, what, episode 22, they're all of a sudden like...
Well, it came from Tiger Zing instead of Tiger King.
I guess OTAV on Thursday will be a tiger.
Episode 22 is devoted to a Netflix phenomenon from earlier in the summer. It's so weird.
Yes.
As opposed to all those other incredibly well-themed challenges.
Don't forget, you've also got the Tiger King lady that is on the dancing show.
Dancing with Stars. Name. Bernadette.
Carol Baskin.
Bernadette. Or Bernadette. I tell you what, she's so bad on that show, we're just going to call her Mike.
All right, so everybody goes through the maze to get their animals. Is it Tyler who wins? Yeah, Tyler wins the thing.
Yeah, Tyler won with 2 minutes and 55 seconds. I mean, he just killed it.
Now, who was it that was running it that every time they came around a corner and saw one of the tigers, they were scared
Davon.
Shitless?
No, was it Nicole or Davon? I think it was Davon.
I think it's Davon.
Yeah. Anyway. I was like, they're stuffed animals. What do you think they're going to do?
I did notice, though, that Danny didn't even bother opening the gate. She just tossed that thing over the top of the rack or whatever.
And Nicole, stupid Nicole, she obviously didn't want to win. She like, oh, I didn't set you down right. And she went back and like repositioned the tiger and then reclosed the door gingerly. I'm like, oh, come on. You don't want to win.
You called her stupid Nicole, and I'll bet you there are people that know her in real life and have her listed as that as her, in the contacts of their phone. I'll bet you.
Okay, so after this, Tyler wins. Memphis is pissed off because Tyler didn't. I don't know what Memphis wanted.
Are you having a mild stroke or something?
I don't know. I'm all just worried about saying the word tiger again.
By the way, Mike, Janelle has her listed in her phone. It's stupid, Nicole.
So Tyler convinces Memphis, though, to consider other options rather than David. And finally, the seed is planted that David may not be the best option. We go to the veto meeting. Everyone gives their speeches. Whatever. Tyler doesn't use the veto. I think Memphis says, in his typical I'm the godfather, he says, we want Nicole and Danny to stay focused on the committee and not work on side deals. Like, as though he's in charge of everybody. Like, he really does play the I'm the boss of all of you when he's in that HOH position.
Now, was this Davon's big speech or was that on the live show?
Xmas says she's not going to use the blocker power that she has. I forget what that is exactly. Is it? Does anybody know
you could block somebody from being a replacement or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. And then the unfortunate thing is that Davon, who's been convinced that David was the swing vote against Ian, which she's incorrect. She's getting her detective work all wrong. She feels as though there never was a plot to backdoor David, that the HOH and his cronies were just saying they were going to backdoor David. But when in fact Tyler never used the veto, then she thinks, oh, well, they're not doing anything they said they were going to do, right?
Well, normally I would say, oh, she's so, you know, she's just doesn't know what's going on, like I said last week. But this one is actually an intelligent, she, I mean, who would think someone was planning to backdoor David? You know, I mean.
Yeah, I suppose.
Why?
That's an easy mistake to make on Devon's part. It's like, why would they want to backdoor David? Of course they wanted to get me out. You know, I mean, it makes complete sense if you're not watching it on TV.
Okay. We move on to the Thursday episode, Eviction Night. Moose, it's time for Moose's fashion feature. Do we have a bumper for that?
No.
I wish.
It's Moose's fashion feature report.
Back in the 80s, my mother had a formal living room in her house, and she had these stupid throw pillows that if anybody touched, she would absolutely deck them. And there were these dusty rose silk throw pillows. Well, Julie took the fabric off those throw pillows and made a dress out of it. Nice tailoring, but I mean, I hate that goddamn collar.
Oh, well, but how do you really feel?
So who wore it better, the couch or Julie?
The couch, definitely.
Thank you, Moose. That was Moose's fashion feature, found only on But First podcast. Okay, Memphis comes to his senses. And leaves Kevin and Devon on the block. Does that make sense?
Well, it wasn't really his choice, but Tyler convinced him that what Tyler was doing was the best thing for everyone's game, which was basically leaving the nomination the same.
So yeah, he didn't have a choice anyway. At that point.
Tyler successfully got Memphis on his side.
I think basically Memphis thought that Memphis made the good move by having Tyler not take his nomination down. Right?
Yeah. 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 But Tyler was never going to change the nomination.
No,
so.
Of course. Okay. So Devon talks to somebody, I don't know who, about her experience on Big Brother and being a role model for girls. And she didn't want it. She feels like she's being muzzled. And so Devon's really having a hard time of it this go round, because she's feeling targeted and muzzled, which she is, or she's been playing the game that she never wanted to play. So,
well, I think she felt like that she's portrayed as the hothead on her past seasons, and so she made a point, you know, in this season to mention all the time that she was trying to be a different Devon and be not so hot blooded or whatever. And towards this episode, she's just being worn down. Like, you know, she feels like she can't be herself and she's having to, you know, be somebody else to stay in the game. So she's just tired. That's what she said.
All right. Kevin goes to Memphis to talk about what's going to happen to me. And Memphis says, don't worry, you're fine. Devon's going to get voted out. Like, she's not going to have a single person vote to keep her in. Kevin goes to Devon to try to convince Devon that, or to think about that, Nicole could have voted out Ian, but Devon won't buy it. So Devon goes to Nicole and says, did you vote out Ian? No, I didn't. Or how...
No,
she says.
Well, now it is important to remember that once Devon left the room, Nicole kind of under her breath said, you know, I've got to tell her. So, I mean, Nicole's really feeling guilty about this.
Yeah, but it's interesting when she decides to tell her.
True.
Okay. So Enzo and Memphis come up with the two final three scenarios. The, what do they call themselves? The wise guys one and wise guys two.
So, okay. I thought this was not a bad move on Memphis's part at all. I thought, you know, surprisingly, I thought, wow, this is really good thinking on Memphis's part. Name them the same thing so you don't slip up. You know, you trust Enzo. And, you know, and then, you know, who he chose. I mean, Cody was a good choice. I feel like, and maybe nobody knows this, but I feel like at some point, Enzo, the only problem I see, I think in general it was a good plan, but the only problem I saw with it, and maybe Memphis doesn't know this, is that Enzo is apparently Cody's, like, untouchable. Like, you know, they've mentioned that in another season. Now, I don't know if anybody else knows that. I don't know if Memphis knows it. And then Christmas and Enzo were buddy-buddy for a while. So what I was thinking is, if you're not careful, I still think it's a good thing to try, because why not be in a couple of alliances, you know? But it could backfire, though, because Enzo could want to stay in it with Cody and Christmas, with, you know, and Memphis could be the one that gets shoved out, basically.
Mike?
Wait, are we playing a game or something? Like, in a few minutes that happens, doesn't it? Like, in,
well, kind of.
Yeah, it happens Sunday
night. He kind of spills the beans to Cody, and I feel like he kind of shows that his alliance is there, even though he's playing the Memphis game. And so I feel like it's kind of not going to work out the way Memphis wants it to, where he wants to retain control of everything always, because that seems to be part of his personality. Well,
Memphis doesn't think that anybody else knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, though, I don't know. It's hard to tell with Enzo, because, and I know you're a big fan of Enzo, Mike, but I mean, Enzo doesn't come across, you know.
He always thinks he's cute.
No, I just want to sleep with him.
No offense, Dud. I mean, Mike.
Unfortunately, Enzo is Mike's untouchable, because Mike can't touch him right now.
But you're speaking of duds. I think Enzo is the dud that you could take all the way and win against, because people would say, look at that idiot. He made it all the way.
It's hard to know, because he's friends with really important people, and you think,
but he's so stupid.
You think, is that strategy, or did he just fall into that? And the other thing is, when he spills the beans to Cody, I'm not so sure that that's strategy as much as it is, I'm going to talk to my friend Cody, you know. I mean, I don't know why I'm making a Southern accent to sound stupid, but anyway, it's like, I couldn't tell whether that was strategy, like, oh yeah, I'm going to pretend with Memphis and then we're going to get him out, or whether it was just like, I'm just going to talk to Cody and, you know, we're friends and, you know, whatever.
But if Cody had a higher IQ than 10, he would have jumped on that opportunity to put Memphis on the block.
And Enzo's from Jersey.
Well, so is Cody.
When I was watching it, I didn't know for sure that Enzo knew what he was doing. And then you kind of see the way Cody reacts, and then, you know, Enzo reacts to that.
It's like, oh.
Maybe he didn't mean to necessarily spill the beans, and he did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So, well, Memphis thinks Memphis is brilliant, as usual. And the other good line is that they go and tell Christmas, we're going to be the wise guys, but I'm a girl.
His dumb insistence on calling it the wise guys, by the way, I feel like he probably has like jokes pre-written. He's like, he's committed to that name, and I hate it for that reason.
Yeah. Okay. Danny is, you know, Danny just is always working every angle. Danny is pitching to a Christmas to kick out Kevin, which I think Christmas knows that. I don't know what Christmas knows, but Christmas knows that that's the wrong thing to do. So I don't know why. I guess Danny is trying to save Davon because it's a vote and she's a shield. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it's like maybe multi-dimensions. It's like she's friends with her and she feels like she could kind of like convince her to, you know, do some dirty work if she needed her to. And then also she is, you know, kind of good to have around because she will say what needs to be said sometimes. Mm.
Did you guys notice how, and I don't know if this has already happened yet in your notes, Faye, or not, but so after what point is it? Oh, there's some point at which Nicole and Danny are talking to each other and they're both denying that they were the one that did something. I don't even remember.
That's the Sunday episode.
Yeah, that's
coming up. Okay.
Just hang on.
Okay.
Now Christmas is pitching to Memphis to bring David in to keep him around to the final eight and to have David do the dirty work. So Christmas goes and so Memphis was like, "Oh, that's a great idea. Glad I thought of it." Christmas goes to David and is telling him, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to bring you into the eight and whatever." And poor David is like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll do that for you guys. Yeah, love to." Oh, David, we had such high hopes for you 2-3 years ago or whatever it was. And he's just so lame. All right. Go to the vote. The speeches, Devon. Thank you. Devon has like she took all the time. Thank you, Lord. She mentions a list of strong black women. I'm a strong black woman too. She talks about jury management. I think she made some reference to Nicole voting out Ian, possibly in her speech. She said, you and someone went against me or something. We didn't see who she was referring to, but I think it might have been Nicole. In this podcast, we mentioned that Nicole told Devon who she voted for, and you said when. Were you referring to the exit messages?
It was in the exit message. It wasn't, okay. So she didn't know yet. And Devon acted surprised, so I don't think she knew at this point.
Right. Devon was wearing the super cool outfit. Does Moose's fashion feature have any comments about Devon's eviction outfit?
I don't remember it.
Sorry. Oh, it was a must. I'll tell you what it. I'll tell you.
Go for it.
It was a mustard colored bustier with a maroon skirt with like multi level cuts in it. It was just the most. I thought it was one of the most beautiful outfits I've seen on Big Brother in a long time.
And if you'd like to see it, it is on Faye Driver's Amazon wish list if you want to go over to pinkwalnuts.com. Yes.
For when I do my, whatever my drag name was there, red lipstick or something, whatever.
Vibrant lipstick.
Vibrant, yeah. okay, so Kevin... gets Kevin, we don't have much time, so please be quick. From Julie.
I felt like that's unfair. She sat there and let Devon go on for like 20 minutes, it seemed like, and then Kevin, you got to be fast, right. I don't know.
These speeches mean anything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He speaks about diversity and inclusion. Please vote for me if it'll help your game. So the votes go, whatever. We know the vote. Nicole and Danny did the swing vote and voted Kevin to go. Everybody else in the house voted out Devon. And as Devon is leaving the house, Nicole...
This is the best thing in the whole episode.
Either her wig or her earrings. There's gigantic hoop earrings she had on. And Devon is just like, I've had it.
No, she said, Nicole, don't pull off my wig.
And then through the whole thing, she's like, can't believe you tried to pull off my wig.
I believe she said, snatch my wig.
Oh, yeah. All right. So she goes out for her interview with Julie. She says she's relieved. Yeah, go ahead.
That exit. So like the first time she exited the house, it's kind of like a memed like image, like her walking out of the house, like the way she did it kind of is used in a lot of like jokes on Twitter and stuff. People kind of attach it. I wouldn't call it famous, but it's like known. And so I don't know. I wanted her to do the exact same thing. And I was a little disappointed when she didn't do the GIF.
Remember when she walked into the house, she was like this.
Yeah.
You know.
We can't see that on this audio.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, but she's basically doing the queen wave with both her hands.
Yeah.
But at her face.
She's my pick for America's house guest. I'm really hoping that that comes to fruition because I think that it might. I think that she's in the running.
Okay, so she says she's relieved. She's sick of these people. I can't do the fakeness. That was funny. All right, so we come back from commercial. Dr. Will moves in next door. It's a pre-taped message. They're just watching.
He looks like hell.
This was the one comment I made sure I wanted to come here to say tonight. How much plastic surgery has that man had done?
I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, he looks horrible.
Isn't he a plastic surgeon?
Yes.
So
it looks like he's been hit upside the face with a hot iron.
Because he used to have a thin, long face, and now it's like puffy and round. And,
I think we're watching part of the movie where like lightning strikes and he switches places with his wax figure from the wax museum. That's
I think I know what happened to him. He touched the pillows in Moose's mother's living room and she beat the crap out of him.
She would have.
All right.
With her iron.
We get this, and he's in this stupid bathrobe with an empty coffee cup. The coffee cups, you know, I know Daniel Brewer thinks he was the first one to notice that everyone has empty coffee cups on TV, but that's been a pet peeve of mine since the beginning of time. So the empty coffee cup, I'll be here, prizes, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Oh, and you'll see me again.
Right. Oh, that was great. There was some weird, awkward thing going on with the cast, too. They were all in the living room. They get called into the living room.
They didn't know how to react. And then Julie's like, they're so shocked. They don't know. They're speechless. I think they were just like, lame. You know,
their response was perfectly appropriate.
No, I think it's because they didn't have audio on the package. They couldn't hear what he was saying.
I don't think that.
Could they?
I think they could. I think they were just like unimpressed. And, you know, they're oh my God, we're supposed to react. We're still on camera. We don't know what to do.
I totally forgot what he said. What did he say?
Nothing of substance.
He was talking about basically he likes prizes.
Yeah.
So
nothing exciting.
Anyway, nothing exciting.
Well, this is what. When we found out that there would be, you could play for either power or prizes in the upcoming HOH and veto competitions.
Okay, so we did get a tease that there will be a triple eviction on Thursday. Thank God, because we've been waiting for a double eviction for a long time. We haven't seen it at all. And it's about bloody time.
Well, I'm just happy we're finally probably going to eat into the commission.
Yeah. But have they ever done a triple eviction before? I didn't think so either. Yeah.
Also, it's going to be a 2-hour episode. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's exciting.
Oops. I'm doing something on Thursday night. Crap.
Okay. So we get Julie's tagline at the end, her extra. Does anybody have the line? Sam seems to. Go ahead, Sam.
Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Which is where I hand the talking stick over to Sam, I believe, who is now going to take over for the Sunday night episode.
All right, so this is Sunday at 8 p.m., and we have a brief recap saying that the Big Brother basement powers were in play, and Danny has one that's still left to play, which is the replay. She can make the outgoing HOH, which in this case is still Memphis, play in the new HOH competition. And I have a bunch of notes. We get a recap about how the Dr. Will says that you can play powers versus prizes. Nick is talking to Kevin. Danny is talking to Kevin. Christmas and Nicole talk, and Christmas knows that Nicole is lying. And Nick and Danny talk, and Danny and Nick are both lying to each other. This is where Danny and Nick are both lying to each other about who voted out Ian, correct?
Yeah, and
no. Who threw the wonky votes for Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Right.
And
okay, yes.
So I cannot decide if this is stupid or smart on both of their behalf, because they're basically they both are not believing each other. But they're lying, and you get these diary rooms where they're like, "Well, I don't trust her, she's lying to me, but I'm also lying to her and whatever." But, and I'm thinking, you two are kind of going to be singled out. If Memphis is the first one to go, you two may be the next two to go, because, everybody's thinking you guys were working together and trying to keep Devon and all that. And now you're going to kind of do some distrustful things I would band together at that point and be like, we got to, and then Nicole, probably smartly though, goes to Cody and has a conversation where she basically throws Danny under the bus and says, "I would totally flip on her." So Nicole's like, "Oh, yep, well, I rode Danny for a while. Now I can let her go." So I mean, we'll see, but I don't know.
Well, both of those girls have history with Devon. So I think they purposely did not vote for her to go because they know she's going to the jury house, and they want her to have a good.
They want jury management.
Exactly. So,
right.
If she knows that they didn't vote for her, then she'll be happier. So.
Exactly, and then we move back to a whole bit about whether or not Danny should play this power of hers, and we reveal that Cody, Nicole, and Devon already knew that Danny had the power. Nick is trying to get her to play it, but Danny doesn't want to. She's worried about Kevin. So then Nick goes and tells Cody about Danny not playing the power, and Nick and Cody are both mad about that. Then Danny decides to tell Memphis about the power, and the next thing we know is that Big Brother is saying the replay power has been played. So there you go.
But Danny really was only playing that replay for herself. Like, it was just, she was, I'll tell Memphis that I'll ask him if he wants it, and I'll give it to him because we need to do it for the commission. I hate her.
But Memphis didn't want it.
Correct. He did not.
He didn't want any more blood on his hands.
Yeah.
He didn't want anything to get stuck in his ribs.
So then we go on to the head of household competition, and it's sort of a putt-putt golf challenge, but the balls are much larger. It's much more like croquet. It's a golf club shaped mallet. Indeed. And you have to have a putting competition with these three large balls. The best score, which is the lowest score, wins either the head of household competition power, or if you decide to play for the prize, you can win $10,000. And that's a secret, because everybody goes in and does their putt-putt thing by themselves. So whatever you do, none of your teammates know.
And you can play for both of them.
Or just one.
Or just one, yes. Now, there is a catch, though. Because whatever, if you have three balls, and so you hit one, and you can either take that one or try again, but your second one counts regardless of whether it's better or worse. So if you did well the first time, you want to just stop there because you could do, you don't get to keep the best. You get to keep the most recent. So we start off with Tyler, and he's deciding that he's first going to try for a prize to figure out how the balls go. And, you know, we have this very cute little thing. So he tries, and he does very, very well. He scores a score of 3 out of a possible 1 to 20. And then when he tries to get a household on the other side, it rolls off. And then he gets a 14 for head of household. And then we go through everybody. Nicole has 2 that rolls off and gets a score of 10 to try to get head of household. Memphis goes for head of household, and he is deliberately throwing the competition. Apparently, he gets an 18 for head of household. Kevin tries and screws up. And it's very heartbreaking because he gets a 5. And that's a good score. But then he decides he wants to try to do better than that, and he screws up, and it rolls right off, and boom, out. Danny plays for the prize and gets a 3.
I can just interrupt you. It would Kevin have won if he kept his 5 for the HOH?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
He would at have the end of his three, thing, but... he was... Like at the end of his move, he was at the top, but then later somebody else went over.
So then we have Danny, who decides to play for the prize first, and the first ball goes off the field. The second ball ties with Tyler at a 3, and then she tries once for HOH, and it rolls off the field. David really wants HOH, and... he tries all 3, and 1 rolls off the field. 1 is a 19, 1 is a 7.
Kevin, you mean?
No, David.
No, I'm at David. Kevin, we already talked about.
Kevin, oh, was it Kevin?
Kevin screwed up and lost everything. Okay. Yeah. And now we're up to Christmas, who got a 10 for head of household, and then she kept trying and got a 12, and then she rolled off the field, so she was out of the game. And Enzo got a 19 for the prize, got a 4 for the prize, and then screwed up and went off the field and got nothing at all. And then the last person to play this game is Cody. And right now we have Tyler and Danny are tied for the $10,000, and neither one of them knows that. And right now, let's see, David has a 7 and is in the lead for head of household. So Cody goes and he decides to play for head of household, and his first score is a 6, and then we go to commercial break. And after the commercial break, we talk about the prize, and we learn that 4 people attempted the prize, and there was a tie for first place, so 2 people got $5,000 each. And Tyler finds out he's one of them, and he's happy. He's going to give Angela the money. Yeah, very lovely, touching story. And Danny is bitter, and she's feeling all mad that, as far as she's concerned, someone stole $5,000 from her. And, you know, if they edited it like that, you know that's going to come back at some point down the road. You know, Chekhov's gun on the mantle there.
What's the thing that Enzo said?
So then we find out.
Wasn't there something funny about Enzo, what he said about the money, what he could do with the $10,000? I could buy an 85-inch TV. Well, I already have a 75-inch TV. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Enzo was talking about the money and all of that while he was doing his thing. So then... we find out that Cody, after he got the 6 and decided he was maybe going to try again, he got a score of 2. So, of course, Cody is the new head of household. And then we cut to Kevin crying in the diary room. Danny decides to lie about having won the money. And Tyler is also lying about having won the money. And they're both lying to each other about that. And Tyler even goes so far as to say, I bet they're pissed that they have to share it with
someone. I would say that Danny is the biggest liar. Like, Danny just is, she ticks me off.
Another stroke?
Yeah.
Cody was interesting to me because they didn't show us all three of his.
Yeah.
And I really wonder, like, okay, he got two on one. He got two on one of them, but did he go out of bounds on the second one and then get a two in the third one? Did he get a two in the second one and then decide to shoot for the prize in the third one? Like, it, I mean, I'm sure it's insignificant because they didn't show us, but I'm just curious because he didn't show. They
didn't
show.
See all three of his.
We did not. We saw one. We saw his first one, and that's it.
Yeah. And then we know the score of one other one.
We know the score of one of the other ones, but we don't know what the other one was.
It shows how close I pay attention. I didn't even notice that.
They did show. They did show his winning two stroke after the
commercial
revealed as a post, like a pregame regame a replay. But yeah, we didn't see all three.
I was surprised at how many of those people smacked that ball off the court like right away. It was like, it's not that hard. Why are you hitting it so hard? I was shocked, not shocked, but I was surprised by that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Then we cut Cody and Danny are talking, and Cody's turn to be sort of a jerk, and he's asking Danny, so what can you do for me? And Danny is trying to con Cody into putting Christmas up because Danny is scared by Christmas. And Danny thinks that Christmas is some scariest competition. Then we have a little cut on comedy. We have a comedy moment where Enzo hides somewhere and jumps out and scares Nicole. And, you know, many laughs all around.
Well, I don't think, was he hiding or was he using the bathroom? Because he was in the bathroom. He was in the toilet.
He was in the toilet. And somebody said, don't go in there. And but of course, Nicole immediately, don't tell me what to do. Well,
Yeah.
How was that again, Big Fatty?
So I wonder if he was taking a Memphis.
Oh, number two. I thought he would be playing with the bidet machine.
Oh, oh boy.
And that's Love Island.
They have one too.
Big Brother too.
So is it like the clown with the squirting flower on his lapel? Nicole goes in. It's the squirting bidet in the face.
God, I hope not.
Adam, I think you're using it wrong.
Plus, she didn't go in all the way. She just opened the door.
Then you definitely are using it wrong.
Was it the back door?
It might be. In any case, Cody says that he's going to put David and Kevin up because they're the ones that aren't part of the alliance. They're the only two left. And
it's exhausting. But it's exhausting. Come on. Like, leave those. Like, get some balls and take out some of your team members. You're going to have to deal with them. He's not going to be HOH next week. If it just frustrates me so much that these douchebags aren't going to, they don't want to be the people who go after their own blood, right? It just ticks me off.
Well, none of them do. So, I mean, like I said, they're waiting until they don't have any other choice.
And I'll say it once again, week 8, a white person nominates two people of color.
Right.
Just noting it.
Yeah. Again, and somebody said Memphis brought Christmas. Oh, tells Cody that Memphis brought Christmas in. And somebody says, stop going after the Kevins and the Davids. I think that's Enzo, as I recall correctly.
Yeah, but it was like in a diary room or something. It wasn't. I don't think he was saying it to anyone. I think he only says that when he's like in the diary room.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Cody is 100% going after Kevin, and he doesn't want David going home. But if Kevin comes down, I don't want Gavin, so Christmas will go up. And Nick says she's going to do whatever Cody wants. And, you know, now we've got Kevin's been on the block how many times? Like every time.
Every time.
Every time. Almost every time. This is like the fifth. We had like in one of the shows this week, he did this little bit about how he's a block professional. He can teach seminars on block management, you know, and like that. And so we have a sad bit about Kevin forcing himself to go up to talk to Cody about what can I do. And he just flat out just levels. What can I do not to be nominated? Please don't nominate me again. And Cody basically blows that off. I mean, thoughts about how Cody handled this?
Well, I don't think Cody did anything wrong, really, but I felt bad for Kevin. And I don't even remember what he said, because there's a point, and I feel like this is so something that I would do. Kevin kind of snaps. Cody doesn't really say anything bad. I mean, I don't love Cody necessarily, but Cody doesn't really, he's not Memphis. He's not going to be like abusive in his language to anyone or anything like that. And then Kevin, like,
on purpose, yeah.
On purpose, right? And then Kevin turns around and says something kind of harsh to Cody. And I wish I remembered what it was, but
he said, I won't vote for you.
Yeah, he's not going to vote for him if he goes to the jury house.
Yeah, he says that.
Just
but then
like
he,
you feel some kind of way, I feel some kind of way. That was the line. And it
he kind
was
of
basically,
blew up and said,
yeah,
what do you,
you know,
what do you expect me to do? You know, there's only so many people you can put up. Meaning he's not going to put up his alliance people.
Right. And then Kevin says something else about how, I don't know, Cody's used to getting his way or something. I don't know. There was some other comment, but yeah, that whole exchange. But I feel like Kevin just kind of lost control of the situation there.
And because he nailed his fate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that it felt a lot like a family fight. Like to the eight of us, we're like, yeah, it made sense why, you know, Kevin snapped. Like we kind of understood it. But I feel like if this was the first time you saw these two people interact, it wouldn't make a ton of sense. Like he kind of does get, it kind of gets escalated quickly.
Yeah.
And like it's emotional and there's no logical reason for it to be emotional.
Yeah.
That's sure. What I got because my notes say weird, angry editing. Cody diary room says Kevin is 1,000% his target. Why is he still here? And my notes have big question marks. Why such animosity? And I still don't get why they are so angry with it. Why Cody's like out to get Kevin at this point.
Well,
there's
there's
this lady, Martha, in accounting at my job, at an old job where we just never really got along and there was no good reason why. But like, then we just had one interaction about one invoice that was submitted incorrectly and it just like went to shit. And I feel like that's kind of what we're watching is just like, they don't get along and there's no good reason why. And like, you know, maybe they just remind each other of someone or there's just some chemistry that's just not jiving. And I think we just saw it blow up for no reason. That's
now, were you the Kevin or was Martha the Kevin?
Fuck Martha.
Okay.
I was the Kevin.
Okay. I think when Kevin blew up like that, he kind of, like I said, nailed his fate with Cody. That's why Cody was like, of course I'm going to put you up. You're my target now. You know,
yeah, but I do think though, I guess it's a toss up between. But I guess Kevin has the likability. The thing about Kevin is he's not a good player, but he has a likability factor. A lot of people like him that are going to end up on the jury, and so I feel like that's what's going to make him a target. Whereas David, not very many of them like him, and they also don't trust him and think he's a liar and like all of these other things. So I think that in that matchup, the more likable person's going to be the target just for the fact that they're likable, you know.
Also, regarding Kevin, the towel that we've been seeing on his shoulder is actually a blanket. It's his Linus blanket, like Mike said last week, I think.
Well, he was wearing it again this week, too, so.
Yeah.
Like it's a full on blanket. It's like a throw, not a towel. It's a throw.
Maybe he's cold a lot.
But he wasn't wearing it like a throw. He just had it over his shoulder.
Right. I think Moose's fashion feature needs to delve into this throw of this, get more details on it.
Yellow with a fringe.
thank you, Moose. I think
living in a house with that many people must be really weird because they're lounging a lot. But like, I don't want to be all up in the pillows that, you know, everyone is all up in all the time, you know? It's,
yeah.
I think I might be one of those too. Mm-hmm. I am.
Carry on.
Well, we close out the show with Cody nominating Kevin and David. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Shocking.
I would be so pissed off if I was one of those two guys, like those poor guys. Like, I mean, this is why, you know, we saw David's outburst last week when he was really mad and he screamed. And then we've seen Kevin's outburst at Cody.
But they're frustrated.
Yeah, and with every right to be.
Now, who do you think is going to go home?
Kevin. I think there's going to... Go ahead.
I said Kevin.
What do y'all think?
I guess it's Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, I
probably
think,
well, unless something interesting happens.
Well, with the triple eviction, who knows?
That's true.
It's going to be
both go home.
Well, yeah, but I think Kevin will be the first. Well, unless there's a veto situation but the likelihood of that happening, and I know there's probably spoilers, so you guys probably already know, but I don't know who won the veto. So, you would assume that one of the commission won the veto, not one of the two that are on the block, because neither one of them are known for winning competitions. And so unless something weird happens or it's like a game that, you know.
Assuming makes an Enzo out of you and me. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do a little game. So there's
wait a minute. We also found out that Otev was going to be the veto competition.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Well, I have just a little factoid. It's not a spoiler, but
I think you can get ointment for that.
Yeah, I can. It's a medicated salve. Mm-hmm. In fact, I talk about it on tomorrow's show. there is a curse on the Otev players that no one since Otev appeared in season 10, no one, except season 10. Okay. Season 10 was the stroke.
Exception.
Right.
Do you smell toast?
If you win OTEV, you don't win the $500,000.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always.
There was even a funny somebody on Reddit was saying that Taylor or Rockstar's best achievement was throwing OTEV to Tyler, which gave him the curse, and therefore he didn't win.
That's correct. And Enzo and Tyler have both won OTEV. So
here we go. Let's see what happens.
All right. In the Zoom chat, there is a link. So I want you all to, some of you have done it. So click the link, and then there's a code right under the link. So there'll be a place to enter the code and your name.
What code do you put in there?
The code that is in the chat right under the link.
Oh.
And then this is a buzzer.
This is like an HOH competition, Archer. You got to be on your game.
All right. I'm trying.
So we're gonna wait for everybody to enter the room. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Uh Okay, hold on. Okay, clear buzzer. All right. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you guys a question, and then I'm going to ask you to buzz in. And so, and then the first person to buzz in will answer. If you're wrong, we'll go to the next person, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Dr. Will had a coffee cup in his hand. Oh, come on, you guys. Wait until I tell you to buzz.
Oh
my God.
Well, okay. I mean, if you were about to say true or false, I had it.
Okay.
You know?
I was first.
All right. I don't think you can buzz.
Was the cup too big for the Faye driver? Okay.
He had a cup in his hand. I want to know what color. And don't buzz until I say go, okay? What color was the writing on the cup? No. Oh, my God. Go.
What?
Okay. All right. Time's up. All right. Mike was the first one.
This feels very unfair, but because Faye was first a second ago.
Well, that, if you buzzed in before I said go, then...
I did.
Not. No, I cleared it. Anyway, you were the first one, so what color was it?
And the thing is it's a guess. I don't even know the answer. I'm going to say black?
No. Faye, what color was the writing?
Blue.
No. Archer, what color was the writing?
White.
No. Chris, what color was the writing?
Chartreuse.
No. Big Fatty, what color was the writing?
Red.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
What did it say?
I just didn't pay attention.
It was on the no cup. Fucking idea.
It was a vibrant color.
All right. Apparently, I need to pick a different website or something. All right, second question.
That's not the problem here.
Second question. In the HOH competition, there is one person that we know of that did not go out of bounds. Who was that? Go. All right. Big Fatty was the first to buzz in. Who did not go out of bounds for sure?
Danny.
No, that is incorrect. Faye, who did not go out of bounds?
Tyler.
That is correct.
Ding, ding.
Huh.
Yeah. All right. We have one final question. But I'm going to do the math real quick before you guys. Okay. All right. So I'm going to reset it. This is the final question. Let me clear the buzzers. All right. In the Tiger King competition, mm-hmm. In the Tiger King competition, what was the time difference between the winner and loser? Go. All right, we have 3 seconds. Okay. Moose is the first one. Moose.
3 minutes and 40 seconds.
That is incorrect. But we will note yours and we'll go with the closest if all of you are wrong. Faye, what is your answer?
3 minutes even.
No, that is incorrect. Big Fatty, what is your answer?
3 minutes and 41 seconds.
That is incorrect. Chris, what is your answer?
About half as long as this interminable podcast episode.
Well, I'm not the note takers, so I didn't make it long. What's your answer?
3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Aww.
Well, since $1. No one else, Since no one else chimed in, I guess no one else wanted to answer. So we're going to end with those. So actually, of course, Chris was the closest.
Thank you.
The actual answer was 3 minutes and 58 seconds. Oh. So Chris gets a point. So
thank you.
So thank you. In this episode, we have Big Fatty with 1 point, Faye with 1 point, and Chris with 1 point. For the entire game, we have Fatty so far with 3 points. We have Faye with 1 point. We have Archer with 1 point. We have Mike with 1 point. We have Sam with 1 point. And we have Chris with 1 point.
Hey, so, man, I thought Archer got an extra point because his mother died.
No, I already said he didn't.
Oh, okay.
That was a lie. I just wanted him to feel better for a moment. Okay. All right.
Hey, Mike, my mother's name was Martha.
Martha. You know, was she in accounting? Right.
No. She was in food service.
Oh. Okay.
I think that Moose should get an extra point because of those couch cushions that he had to grow up with.
Either that or let's add Julie's dress to his Amazon wish list.
Well, let's go ahead and do the where can you be reached? So, Faye, where can you be reached?
You can find a new episode at pinkwheelnuts.com where all I do is talk about driving. So don't listen to it.
And burning up those wheels.
All right, Moose, where can you be reached?
Moose P on Twitter.
All right. And Mike Lawson, where can you be reached?
I do a lot of tweets with the hashtag insulin, the number 4 and the letter all, insulin for all. And we talk a lot about insulin affordability in the U.S. and it's worthwhile. So check it out.
Cool. Chris, where can you be reached?
You can find me in Memphis, Tennessee, slurping some barbecue sauce off some succulent ribs.
All righty. Well, Archer, where can you be reached?
Archer.com.
Sam?
Sam in the H on Twitter.
Or on many episodes of Star Wars. And Fatty, where can you be reached?
Well, before I tell you where I can be reached, let me just remind everyone that we move the Sunday episode to Monday nights starting this week.
What?
Okay, great.
Okay. So, anyway, the notes when we record, it'll be real quick after, right after the episode. Oh, Mike won't be able to see it.
All right. Well, we can talk about that off the recording.
But anyway, so, the Sunday, they're bringing back the Sunday night movies. Okay. So the Sunday night episode is moving to Monday night for the rest of October.
Okay. So it'll be Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Big Fatty can be reached at BigFattyOnline.com. I can be reached at GeekyGay.com. And we can be reached at ButFirstPodcast.com. From Outside O and other LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts can be reached at pride48.com. From outside the Big Brother house, let's eavesdrop on Big Fatty's hands and the house guests. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Fatty, do you realize when you scream that Zoom like reduces your volume by like 75%, so then we can barely hear you at all? So it's
that's the silver lining.
Yeah, it is. I shouldn't tell him. All right, whoever wants to leave can leave.
Are there spoilers?
Yeah, spoilers.
Yep.
Yes, there's spoilers.
Oh, all right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, wait. Before you leave, do we want to talk about when we're going to record? Because Mike can't see Mike and Faye can't watch. And Adam, you can't either.
It literally won't even be on live TV yet then for me, right?
I'm okay. Like, well,
for me, it's true, 7 p.m. my time.
I would be okay moving it to a different night, but I'm not doing podcasts on weekends anymore. So it would need to be a weeknight. So it would need to be either basically Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But I'm okay with that. I'm just, it won't be, I can't do it Sunday night. Or
well, we should probably do it Tuesday before the... well, Tuesday's fine with me.
Tuesday's okay with
me. Or we skip. I mean, so what if we just drop and we,
could still do Monday nights, but not discuss the Monday episode. So there'd be a bit of a gap, like there'd be a short episode on next Monday where we talk about the Tuesday.
Well, and we do have a 2 hour, we too have a 2 hour episode this Thursday, so we'd still have 3 hours.
Right.
It might be a good week to make that transition if we wanted to. I'm flexible, so I
that's what Mondays, I hear about I you.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, all the days Adam proposed work for me in my schedule.
I've seen his videos too.
Why don't you just email us, Fatty, and we'll vote or something?
Great. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we can decide now, but I mean, it sounds like we're not making a decision. So let's.
Correct.
Let's move on.
All right. Okay, move the show forward.
I'll leave.
All right. All right.
All right. Bye, Faye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
All right. Spoilers. Mike.
I don't know any. I don't know anything.
Archer. You don't know anything. Archer.
Cody won the veto and kept the nominations the same.
Yep. So does that mean that both David and Kevin get voted out?
I don't know.
Or is it going to be, one of those, one of the two of them gets voted out, and then we do the double
run through
elimination.
A whole week in 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I say they finally use this as an excuse to start going after each other.
They're going to have to.
I think it's going to be, they're going to have three HOHs or at least two HOHs, and they're going to start with the eviction almost right away, probably. And then they're going to go right to an HOH veto, kick somebody out, HOH veto, kick somebody out.
But if like it's a 2 hour show, they can spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've done two in an hour before, so if they're going to do three in 2 hours, so they can spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. So it'll be wham,
yeah,
bam.
But they've still, that's, I understand what you're saying, but they don't have enough time to set up two different HOHs and two different vetoes.
See, in the commercial break. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Because
sure they just make it simpler.
They will. They'll all be in those little boxes, and they'll have to turn their little thing.
Well, okay.
They can do two of those in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Yeah. They've done stuff similar where like it's one set and it's used for like the three different or two different games. Like
half of it for one, half of it.
Well, also
they'll probably set up one in the basement area.
Right. Yeah. They've got the basement.
Oh, right.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
They've got the. I don't know if it's the same place, but they've got that other room that was the airport lounge that they did the safety suite.
Well, but that's basement out.
Well, we don't know. I mean, that could be a different room.
Maybe Dr. Will will invite them over to the neighbor's house.
That's where they did the miniature thing too.
Yeah.
They'll they could do it in the parking lot.
Speaking of the parking lot, there's been some more parking lot yellers. Mm-hmm. So somebody yelled, David heard very clearly that Nicole, they were basically ratting out Nicole's vote over the fence. So that's an interesting, and the feeds cut it. They don't want us to know about it. So you kind of only know this because of those people that are like watching the feeds all the time and are tweeting about it and stuff. It's interesting.
Somebody should just figure out a way to record, just put the feeds on 24-hour DVR. Maybe they have. Then it wouldn't matter if they cut it from the feeds. All right. Well, interesting.
If they cut the feeds, the DVR wouldn't pick it up.
Well, how do they know, though? If someone knows, it had to have been on the feed for them to see it. Otherwise, they wouldn't know.
Well, but they're cutting the feeds so that we don't hear the house guests talking about it. It's not like we hear them yelling.
We just hear little snippets. They start talking about it, and then they go to puppies or whatever it is.
Kittens.
Yeah, kittens it's been lately.
All right, anything else?
Well, the commercials, they know that it's a triple eviction, and I think they're all shit in their pants.
Good. Oh, do they know that?
Okay. Yeah, I thought I saw something about Nicole saying something about that. On Twitter, I think.
Well, that because they've already announced it, because there's a commercial where Cody comes out and says, "Hey, everybody, Big Brother's got a big surprise for us," or something like that. And
so they can prepare for this. They know three are coming.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
It really doesn't. Why would they do that? It kind of ruins the
ruins the surprise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for us to see them get surprised about it.
Maybe the surprise is three. Maybe they have dropped some clues and the house guests are like, "Hey, we have more than a single eviction coming up."
Guests know that they haven't done the double eviction, obviously. So they've all been expecting that coming up. So
yeah.
If they start talking about triple eviction, like they suspect triple, I'm going to call bullshit on that, you know, somebody's given them that because like someone brought up earlier, they've never done a triple eviction.
Mm-mm. Next year,
maybe that's one of those
quadruple eviction.
Hollered. Maybe that was hollered over the fence.
I swear, I thought I saw something because I followed the Big Brother daily, and I thought I saw something that Nicole said something about triple eviction. I'd have to look for it.
I think they know.
All right. Well, tune in next week when we find out if the house guests knew that it was a triple eviction. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.